I am Jason Rutherford, the creator of the Online Army Showcase, and even though I'm in Las Vegas this weekend when I should be home recording a podcast, I thought ahead and I'm not going to leave you hanging in this episode of the Tabletop Battlefield. Welcome to episode 15 of Tabletop Battlefield, the official podcast of the Online Army Showcase at army.rockosoftware.com. And for all those people out there in Radio Land who listen to the audio version, yes, I am in Las Vegas. I'm actually recording this little segment here from my room in the Bellagio Hotel. And well, like I said, I should clarify. I sort of thought ahead. I've got about half the episode done. Well, maybe a little more. Maybe two-thirds to three-quarters of the episode done as I'm recording this right now. Because, as I've been talking about in some previous episodes, I've been actually working to build some fighters for MechWarrior Age of Destruction. And while the rules are not done yet, the figures are, and that's what I plan to do today. So, today's just going to be me talking, because it's another of my little figure demonstrations, or, you know, kind of work-through workshops that I like to do. In this case, we're going to actually go ahead and make the models that we're going to use later on for the aerospace fighters for MechWarrior Age of Destruction. So, I'm actually going to show you how to build a Sloan heavy aerospace fighter for the inner sphere. Now, here's why I'm saying it was only half complete. I've only got the green master of it done. I'll explain what that is a little bit later as I go through the show. But the second step is the resin casting. We actually got to make the mold and pour the resin stuff in and harden into the kind of plasticky stuff that the figure will be made out of. See, the problem is the instructions make that look really simple. You mix two parts together and, well, it should just kind of mix and pour in the mold and come out nice and looking good. It's a little bit more difficult than that. I haven't actually successfully got it to work yet. I've only tried once, but it kind of half came out. Some parts are really flimsy and there's a lot of air bubbles and I really messed the figure up. So when I get home from this Sunday night, I'm going to go ahead and try to do it a few more times and see if I can't make a better model and hopefully get this whole thing done and show you how to do the full start to finish production when I release this, which will be next Thursday. But there's one thing that's downright awesome in this hotel. And behind me here, there's these drapes that open automatically. So let's get started building those aerospace fighters for MechWarrior Age of Destruction. All right, everyone, Jason here. I'm going to take you through a tutorial of how you can make a green master for later making models of the aerospace fighters for MechWarrior Age of Destruction. So let's go over some of the things I got in front of me here. I got my green stuff. This little bit is from Games Workshop, and they sell about two strips of this size for $8. But I believe another company, Guildforce 9, I think they are. They make a lot of the other gaming supplies. They have a better price. They actually sell fairly large tubes of the stuff that I've seen. It's maybe almost like each tube is almost twice the length of this, but it's actually a big thick tube. Two thick tubes of this stuff for actually $15. So you get a little bit more money, but you get a lot more stuff. So also, I've got some graph paper in front of me. This is for using to draw out the basic layout of the aerospace fighter. We got a pencil, obviously, for drawing. Scissors for cutting the paper. And then I've also got a couple modeling tools laying around here. One, this is the Games Workshop modeling tool. It's kind of expensive. It's a whopping $10 for this overpriced dental pick. And also, it's not a bad idea to have a hobby knife sitting around as I do here now. And the last thing is some masking tape to tape down the pattern you're going to be using. So I've already gone ahead and created a little pattern here. This particular one is the Sloan Aerospace Fighter. And this is just a very rough layout of the shape of the fighter. I'm not interested in adding a lot of 3D mass or any of the wings or any details. This is just the very rough layout of the fighter. And as you can see here from the Aerotech 2 book, all I did was I basically took the picture of the fighter and kind of sketched out what it would look from an overhead perspective on this graph paper. And I cut it out of the graph paper, and for some reason I thought it would be a good idea to just draw the thing in the middle of the graph paper. Therefore, I got a small hole in the sheet of graph paper, therefore waste the entire sheet of paper for a little diagram that's about 1 inch by 2.5 inches. Go figure. So, you can either A, sketch out your own designs if you want to, or B, I'm posting this one, and I've also got ones for the Stingray Aerospace Fighter and the Batu Omni Fighter that'll be posted on the Online Army Showcase. And that's going to be on the MechWarrior Aerospace Fighter page, which is army.rockosoftware.com/MW_aerospace. And that's all lowercase. So, first things first, I'm going to go ahead and tape down the plans to the inside of a Tupperware container. And the reason Tupperware is because it's just clear. So you'll be able to see what I'm doing and also then be able to lift the final master off the Tupperware container and away from the mold and everything. So, as you see, I'm just taping the little paper down to the inside of the Tupperware container. Make sure it's going to be down there nice and secure. So I hold this thing up here, and you can see now through the Tupperware container, you can see the mold of the Shalone Aerospace Fighter. Okay, the last item I got in front of me here that I forgot to mention just a minute ago was this can of olive oil. It's a spray-on olive oil that you use to obviously spray in the bottom of a cooking pan to just keep the vegetables and other stuff from sticking to the bottom of the can. And now, the reason I'm going to use this is for the same reason you use it in cooking, to keep the whatever you're working with from sticking to the surface you're working on. So unfortunately, it's a bit of a double-edged sword that it will make modeling a little bit more difficult. When it comes time to pop off the master off the little Tupperware container you're working on, the layer of this stuff will actually make things a lot easier to pull off. So I'm going to go ahead and just spray a very small amount down on the Tupperware container. I'm just going to take one end of my modeling tool and just kind of spread it all around. So it just completely covers the area I'm going to be working with. And then I'm obviously going to get out my little bit of green stuff, take my hobby knife. I'm going to cut out a fairly sizable chunk just because I want to make a nice solid base for the aerospace fighter. And obviously, if you're familiar with this stuff, you know how the green stuff gets its name, because as you go ahead and just knead it together, the yellow and the blue sections of the little epoxy material are going to mold together, and the final product is going to be green. So anyway, the first step of making the model master, or making the master, is pretty straightforward. It's just lay down the green stuff and cover the areas you drew onto the sheet of paper. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going ahead and finishing mixing this thing up. I like, when I knead this stuff together, I like to do kind of a twisting motion to it. I find that when it's, if you twist the stuff together, it mixes a little bit faster than if you were just to kind of sit here and mash it into one another. The twisting motion just kind of merges the red and the, or the red, merges the green, for crying out loud, I can't get the colors right, merges the yellow and blue sections together a little bit quicker. So I've got my little glob of green stuff all mixed up here. So I'm going to go ahead, just take a chunk of it off, and I'm simply just going to place it down on top of the area I'm going to be working with, and really just spread it out to cover the outline of the Shalone Fighter. In the case of the Shalone Fighter, if you look back at the image that I just showed you a little bit ago, you notice there's about five distinct sections to it. Each wing has pretty much two sections to it, and then there's a third middle section of the body. So right now I'm not trying to get it super accurate as the exact shape. I'm just trying to cover the entire area. Okay, so now that I've got the entire area pretty well covered, I think I'm going to actually add just another, well, let's go ahead and start molding it out first. So I'm going to use the Games Workshop modeling tool here. It kind of has a blade-like end to it. I'm just going to use that to kind of push back the green stuff so that it lines up with the various lines I've drawn on the paper. And it's not terribly critical to make it nice and perfectly straight. You really, or necessarily get the proper height of the sections of the fighter. I'm more interested right now in just getting the green stuff laid out. That's going to become a base where I'll later edit all these 3D portions of the model. So this is where you're going to find that the olive oil is going to be the double-edged sword I was mentioning about. Because you're going to notice as you move the model around, as you kind of, you know, nudge the different parts into the proper shape, that's going to be kind of moving itself out of the bounds of the model. So unfortunately, you just kind of have to deal with that if you're using the olive oil to prevent sticking. And try as much as possible to get a fairly even base of green stuff down. And this particular base for this fighter, because obviously it's going to vary from fighter to fighter, I make it in maybe about an eighth of an inch thick of green stuff. So I just keep going around the edges here, kind of pushing the green stuff back in to make it just line up with a nice edges I drew. And sometimes, instead of just pushing it, you may have to cut a little bit off. So obviously, don't worry about cutting a little bit off and just kind of pitching off the side. Because sometimes, you know, if you need to get a nice even layer, you're going to have to cut some of it off, as I'm doing right at the moment. Now, I know in the case of the front of the Shalom, the actual where the cockpit's at is kind of inset a little bit from the front of the wing. So I'm going to go ahead now and find that spot and just kind of cut it out a little bit. And what I do, I just kind of make a few little incisions into the green stuff. And then just with a pulling motion, I pull some of the green stuff away from the rest of the model. And then I just take it, bundle it off, and stick it off to the side in case I need to reapply it somewhere else. Or if I were really just, yeah, to apply somewhere else. And this may mess up some of the other parts of the model when you're kind of ripping things away. So once you've got all that you want to rip away, removed, go ahead and, you know, repeat the process of using the blade end to, you know, reshape the entire thing and make sure it's all the proper shape. Of course, when it comes to cutting the green stuff, there's no requirement that you actually have to use this modeling tool. It's not a very sharp blade if you were to compare it to, say, the blade of the X-Acto knife. So if you really want to just cut, just go ahead and use the X-Acto knife to cut as you have in the past and other, you know, situations. I wouldn't be too worrisome about having to use this modeling tool, even though if you bought the same one I did, it's a heck of a lot of money. You might want to get your money's use out of it.
If you can't tell, I thought this modeling tool was way overpriced.
Okay, so now I've finally gone ahead and cleared out all the area that's going to be where the cockpit comes up to. So I'm just going to go back with this, the modeling tool now, and just kind of smooth out the edges. So that's a nice little rectangular inset. And go back in any places in the back where the model might have moved slightly during that whole chaos. And when kind of pressing down the green stuff to make it nice and even, I tend to press towards the inside of the model and not to the outside. Just so that way, because obviously if you press towards the outside of the model, the green stuff's kind of going to mold, you know, over the lines, and you have to go do the process over and over and over again. Whereas if you kind of mold it towards the inside of the model, that'll happen a lot less frequently. It'll be a lot less remolding. So it's looking pretty good so far. It's just about the shape that I would like it to be in. I'm just going to go ahead now and trace around the outside of the edges with the modeling tool to just kind of cut off any little bit of green stuff that might get sucked out to the edge. Oh, the side of the wings just got a little bit too much green stuff on it. So I'm going to go ahead and just kind of pull it back out a little bit. Okay, now I'm pretty satisfied with the overall shape of the Shalom's base. You can see there in the picture. So what I want to do is smooth it out a little bit because I'm going to let this dry. And then, you know, you probably got to let these things dry for about 12 hours. But I'm going to come back and I'm going to start actually applying the 3D goop to it so I can actually get the proper, you know, height of the various parts of the fighter. But first I'm going to smooth things out. So what I'm going to do is take my little olive oil again. Just do one quick squirt off the side of your pattern here. But still keep it obviously on your work area. And I'm going to take the other end of the modeling tool. It kind of looks like a little tiny flat sphere or flat little piece here. I'm going to just kind of rub that into the olive oil. And all I'm going to do is just run this thing back and forth pretty quickly across the length of the mold or the master that I'm making. And this will basically, we'll just kind of smooth out and flatten out this layer of the master. So, and the reason I apply the olive oil to the end of the tool before I spread the stuff out, it just makes it it flow and blend a lot better than if you weren't. You'll find that if you were just to drag this tool across without the olive oil, it actually kind of be really sticky and wouldn't work all that well. I just personally have found that the olive oil just makes the whole thing flow a little bit better. So this base may not be perfectly, you know, symmetrical height-wise, but you're going to worry about that in step number two. And with that, we're going to call that done for step one. So you're going to want to let this set for maybe upwards of 24 hours. And then we're going to come back. We're actually going to go ahead and turn this flat little green thing here into actual 3D-looking Shalom Aerospace Fighter for MechWarrior Age of Destruction. I'll see you in a little bit. All right, well, I'm going to assume it's been 24 hours here, and you've allowed the base of your Shalom Starfighter to dry properly. So what I'm going to go ahead and do now is try to remove the master from the template and see if it works. So if everything went all right with the olive oil and stuff, it should pop off pretty easily without too much work. Okay, well, first thing I want to do beforehand, as I mentioned a while back, the Shalowan essentially has five parts across his body. Each of the two wingtips, two mid-wing sections, and then the main body itself. So I want to mark those off just when I go ahead and start molding and add the rest of the 3D components to this base. So I'm just going to do that first. I'm going to take my hobby knife and just scratch lines across the surface of the fighter, which will mark, you know, obviously the divisions between these sections. And then, once that's ready to go, you need to go ahead and just pop this thing off the base. As you see, it already just came off as I'm messing around. But what you would normally do is just kind of stick your hobby knife under a corner and just kind of lift up a little bit. And hopefully the whole thing is just kind of pop right up and off. As you notice, it's really pretty thin right now, so that's why we got to bulk it up a little bit, because it's pretty flimsy still. So I'm going to start with the main body first. So it's a pretty straightforward process here. I'm not going to worry too much about the details of the actual fighter itself. I'm just going to go ahead and basically add some mass to the master. So I'm just going to break off a little piece of the green stuff and go ahead and, with a twisting motion, I'm going to mix the two halves together. So anyway, I got it mixed up, so I'm going to go ahead now. The middle body section of the Sloan Starfighter is the tallest, so I'm going to just go ahead and use this section essentially as a base for how high I'm going to make the other sections relative to this one. So let's just go ahead, and all I'm really doing is just packing on some green stuff. Be sure to maintain the shape of the sections of the section, and don't really overrun the back edge or the side edges of the green stuff as you apply these molds. As you apply it, I mean. And I'm just going to use my the blade end of the hobby tool, just kind of help box in this stuff a little bit. You may have to chop a little bit off on the sides and make sure it maintains shape properly. Don't worry too much about making sure it's exactly smooth right at the moment. You're going to go ahead and smooth out all the pieces of the entire master at one time. So let's go ahead and start building the side wing sections. Now the two mid-wing sections, they're definitely a lower height than the main body here in the middle. And they kind of taper up a little bit towards the middle main body section. Now one thing I'll mention, you probably don't really need the paper master anymore, but you might just want to leave it kind of taped down to the piece in case you got to go ahead and realign the model back up and make sure it all fits in the original dimensions as you planned. So let's go ahead now, just take a nice chunk of green stuff. Let's start just spreading it out along the wing. So pick a wing, doesn't really matter which one you want to do first. And just go ahead and add some green stuff to it. Now remember, you just bulk up the mass here. Don't worry too much exactly about the details of how it looks, and you can always go ahead and add more to other sections or take a little bit away if necessary. So use your tool and just kind of make sure it confines to the shape of the wing as you'd expect it to. You may have to, you know, cut some off, move it around, whatever it takes. So as I mentioned, it's kind of a tapered wing, so you can go ahead and what I'm going to do is press down and towards the wing tip to give it a little bit of a tapered shape. And after you do that, you're probably going to have to go ahead and, you know, realign the extra green stuff at the front and back of the wing. So just go ahead. Now let's jump to the wing tip. And it's basically this repeating the same process over and over, just bulking up mass on the wings of the fighter. And as of the body section, don't worry about making it nice and smooth right off the bat. We're going to go ahead and do that all at one time. So just go ahead and finish bulk up the mass a little bit, and we'll come back and I'll do some of the smoothing and some more detail work with you. Alright, I've gone ahead and bulked up the mass of the Shalowan Starfighter all over the place. You can definitely see it's a little bit thicker now as I hold it up to the camera. But it's still kind of looking a bit on the fugly side. So I'm going to go ahead and do a little bit of trimming details. As I mentioned, the wings are kind of tapered, so I'm going to actually go ahead and take off some of the green stuff from the wing tips. Just kind of start up and just kind of slowly scrape little bits of it off. Point of which is to just create a bit of a tapered wing towards the end. I'm going to flip it over and cut off a little bit more.
Continue to taper the wing down as it reaches the wing tip. Because essentially what I'm doing here is I'm pressing less towards the middle of the wing and more towards the tip of the wing. Therefore, obviously forcing the green stuff at the tip of the wing down and away. And I'm just going to always pinch it in sideways to make sure it maintains the proper shape of the wing. I'm just going to go ahead and chop off the green stuff that's past the wing tip. Just kind of repeat that a few times. That'll basically kind of taper down the green stuff to form a tapered wing towards the wing tip of the fighter. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to repeat the portion, or I'm going to go ahead and repeat the steps for the other wing, and we'll come back and start working on the main body. Okay, time to go ahead and smooth out the master and get ready to apply any details to it. So just like you did with the base, you're going to go ahead and take a little bit of olive oil from the spray olive oil can, just kind of squirt it down your working area. Take the little circular flat side of the sculpting tool, dip it in the olive oil, and just like the base, just run it over the master and kind of smooth out all the little kinks, if you want to call them that, or little ruts or dents, whatever you want to call them, you know. And when you're doing the wings, you might want to think a little bit about the general airfoil shape of an aircraft wing. If not familiar with the airfoil of an aircraft wing, they essentially peak very quickly and then taper off really slowly to the back of the wing. So the actual peak of the angle of the wing is maybe about only a quarter of the way back of the wing. So therefore it has a really sharp leading edge and a very soft trailing edge towards the back of the wing. So all I'm doing is right now is just simply going back and forth, the little circular thing, kind of flattening out a lot of the, as I mentioned, kinks or bumps or whatever you want to call them, and just kind of running up and down the entire model doing that. Also at the same time, kind of doing a little bit of airfoil on the wing. It's not necessarily required, but it would make the model look a tad bit more authentic. And the last part, of course, would be the midsection. So in the case of the Shalone fighter, just past that little notch, it ramps up really quickly, but overall it's a fairly kind of boxy shape to the midsection. It stands out a little bit more from the wings, and that's about it. So just go ahead and smooth that out a little bit. Another thing you got to consider at this point is the details that you're going to put in the fighter. Essentially like the little creases where creases where the ailerons or the elevators would be, or any other type of control surface, or sometimes just little the divisions in the armor panels. If you're looking to make a really deep, very profound, you know, line, now is the time to do it. Use either your hobby knife or just take the blade portion of the hobby tool and just use that to kind of make a nice deep cut. Or if you're not interested in making such a deep cut for the line, just go ahead and wait till this master completely dries, and you can go ahead and just kind of make it then and kind of scour into the fighter. So I usually like to do that. The last step in the case of the Shalone fighter is actually to attach the fins in the back, the tail sections. It has two. Some fighters have one, some have seven. But, you know, it's what you're going to do is essentially make another template, kind of like how you did for the main body, but just make it for the two tail fins. Go ahead, mold those just as you did the initial base of the master. Let them dry. Then go ahead and cut them out. And use a little bit of green stuff, just attach them to where they're supposed to be. And then at that point, you'll be ready to go ahead, add some final details to the green master, and then get ready for it to be resin cast. Okay, it's time to finish the last step of making the green master before you go ahead and make a mold, which will then be used to actually make the resin figures. So, what I've got in front of me here are obviously my finished body of the Shalone fighter. And I've gone ahead and made two tail sections. The tail sections are actually made simply by following a little pattern along that I drew out. And just like I did at the start of the body, where I kind of laid down some green stuff and kind of mushed things around to get in the right shape. So I'll put the actual patterns for the tail fins up on the website, but they're made just the way we made the first step of the body. So nothing new or challenging there. So the last step is to add some details to the fighter and kind of give it
the areas where you can see the ailerons, maybe the flaps, or just little ridge lines and armor panels. So this is a really simple step. You kind of decide ahead of time where you want anything. Maybe you might draw it out in your figure using a pen or a pencil or something. I choose not to do that. I just choose to dive right in with my hobby knife and start scraping away at things. So all you gotta do is use your hobby knife and just kind of scratch into the surface where the various things are gonna be. If you have the aerospace book laying around, you might want to use that for patterns, but it's not really necessary. So I'm just kind of going to estimate things, kind of scratch in the back of the wing where an aileron might be. And obviously, you know, ailerons are used to control the roll. Is it the roll of the aircraft? Yeah, I believe the roll. Let's see. Pitch? Yeah, roll. Yeah, control the roll of the aircraft. So there's obviously one in either wing. And you want to kind of make them approximately symmetrical. So that's all it is. I'm just kind of cutting into the wing with my hobby knife. I'm not cutting in very deep, just very shallow, quick cuts. I'm not really even removing any material when I'm digging in. I'm just basically separating the top layer of the wing, as you can see there as I'm holding up right now. So other things you're going to want to draw, you're going to want to draw on a little canopy screen. So I'm going to go ahead and kind of scratch in where the canopy might be in the front here. Oops. And obviously just really some other armor panels is all you need. Nothing too fancy. Like I'm going to let's go ahead and stick a slide piece there. Let's go ahead and make the wing tips have their own armor panel. So I just keep doing the same thing over and over again, which is just basically take my hobby knife and kind of cut down just a little bit into the actual model. And I'm going to go ahead and just put some horizontal lines that are parallel to the wing to get some more effects of armor panels. Let's go ahead and make one that runs the length of the back of the fuselage. Heck, let's put lines, you know, either side of the fuselage. And maybe the ones that run up and down the body a little bit. Let's see. Let's have fun here. Let's go ahead and just cut the line there. That's all it really comes down to. Just wherever you want to put the lines, if you think it looks cool, go ahead and put them there. And the other things you can do other than just make armor panels is also to actually make little exhaust vents. So let's go ahead and say, I'm going to go to the back of the aircraft here. I cut two little sections. I'm going to make some exhaust vents. I'm basically making a lot of little slits right in a row. So I'm just going to go ahead and go slit and just... And this just gives you, obviously, the illusion that there's a lot of little, some little slits in the back of the aircraft, as you can see that I've just done there. So... And I've got the basic armor panels laid out pretty well. Let's go ahead and... Why not add just... one more on either side for kicks. And then I'm going to go ahead and move on to the tail. And the tail is going to be the same kind of thing. I'm just going to go ahead and first add a few slits to make the rudders. And if you want to, you can go ahead and add slits to the top and bottom of the aircraft body if you choose to. Obviously, when you get this thing mounted on some kind of base, you're really not going to see the bottom of the aircraft. So it's not really critical, but obviously just for, if you're really going for the realism effect, yeah, you obviously want to put not only armor panels on the bottom, but also any kind of matching marks for the ailerons. So obviously you'd want the ailerons not only here on the top, but if I flip them over to put marks in the same spot on the bottom. And I'm just going to go ahead here in the tail and just add a few, make it like just a few quick armor panels on either side of it. Nothing too heavily detailed. You don't need anything fancy for the tail. Well, actually, I should say tails, since the Shalone fighter does actually have two tails, if you're not familiar with the picture, what it looks like. So as you can see here, I've just gone ahead and marked the tails just like I did the body. So the last step now is to actually attach the tails to the body. So all I'm going to do
is cut a very small piece of the green stuff off its, you know, off the slab that you have, the green stuff slab. And as usual, mix together really quick. I'm simply just going to use green stuff to stick the tails on, and then, you know, let the model dry for, you know, another 24 hours. And it'll be ready to go ahead, and we'll start mixing up some of the rubber and the resin and actually build the mold that you'll use to make multiple copies of this thing. So rip off a tiny little bit. I'm actually going to run it between my fingers to kind of make it long and cylindrical. I'm just going to go ahead now, even less than what I pulled off, just a very slender little piece. I'm just going to go ahead and attach it onto the bottom of the tail. As you can kind of see, there's a little extra glob on the bottom of the tail. I'm just going to go ahead now and stick this thing onto the body of the aircraft. Then I'm going to take another small little bit of green stuff, rub it between my fingers, and stretch it out on as a nice long little worm-like thing. Stick it on the bottom of the other tail fin. And stick that on the other side of the fuselage. There we go. They're both kind of on there. You can see it now. It's nice big tails, but hey, it'll look all right and be cool for when this thing actually becomes a resin model. So with that, let it go for 24 hours.
All right, we're in the last phase of building the aerospace fighters for MechWarrior Age of Destruction, which is the first make the mold that's the resin that we pour it into and then actually pour the resin out. So right now in front of me, I'm going to show you the kind of quick and dirty way to make a mold for resin. In this case, it'll only work in the event where you actually have one nice big flat side, which you do here in the case of the Shalone Starfighter. As you can see, the bottom is perfectly flat. So what I've got is I got a block of clay here. This is clean clay. It'll come in the kit of the resin, of the resin modeling kit. And I've gone ahead and stuck it in the microwave for about 20 seconds to soften it up a little bit. So I've measured the size out so it's just slightly bigger than the actual Green Master, the Shalone Fighter itself. So I'm simply just going to put this down here, take this Shalone Fighter, put it on top, and gently just kind of shove it down into the clay. That's not good. So let's go ahead here. As you see, I just kind of shoved it down in there. I'm going to take the modeling tool and go ahead. I'm going to pop out the figure I just stuck in there. So you got to be careful here not to do too much damage to the mold or distort the mold in any real way. Man. So you can see we got the impression of the Shalone Fighter there and the nice deep holes of the tail. So let's just discard the master for right now. I should point out the other method of actually making the resin mold, which is you use some kind of, there's another component that comes in there, makes a little rubberish stuff. And you actually encase the master in, and you'll use that to basically make an internal mold here that you'll fill up with the resin. This takes a little bit longer process. It's about 8 hours of curing time between the two halves. And if you go to the aerospace page, which is just army.rockosoftware.com/MW_aerospace, which is all lowercase, you'll actually see a link on the, I think it's a 6th page, to say other resources, to a link on a website called childofmecha.com that'll show you a neat tutorial on how to make these types of resin molds. But I'm sure I'll cover this in one of the future episodes. I'm just kind of running out of time here. So I'm going to go ahead now and actually mix up the resin. As I mentioned, the resin consists of two parts here. Each of these is 2 cups, and I've got a 3rd cup sitting here, which I'm going to pour both of them into simultaneously. It's fairly critical that you make sure you use equal parts of both. Okay, to give you an idea how much resin you need to pour, at least instructions on my kit says use a minimum of 1 ounce of each. And so if you get, obviously, a minimum of 1 ounce of each together is 2 ounces total. Will actually be enough for about 3 different molds of fighters here. So I've actually got inside the rubber block is my Batu fighter. And I made that inside the rubber block because the Batu has a bit of a 3D shape to it, whereas the Shalone and the Stingray are both very, have a flat bottom to them. So I'm just going to go ahead and take my 2 resin mixtures. And you got to work quickly once you mix these 2 together. Though it will vary depending on the particular kit you have. You have to basically mix and pour these things, at least in my kit, in about 2 minutes.
our start point within about 2 minutes. So, you mix relatively slowly to get a nice consistent color throughout the entire thing. If you mix too fast with the resin, you actually get a lot of air bubbles inside the resin itself, and the air bubbles could potentially seriously damage the models that you're making. So don't mix too fast, but you know, it's like a very intricate balance. You gotta mix fast enough so that you can be ready to pour these things in just a minute or two. And what you'll notice is when the resin starts to kind of cure and mix together, it's gonna heat up a lot. The chemical reaction of mixing the two portions together will generate heat, and that heat is what actually cures the resin and makes it hot, nice and hard. So the interesting thing is, thick parts of the resin will actually cure faster than the thin parts, because the thick parts are obviously going to have more heat to them than the thin parts will. And it depends exactly on the length of curing time for your resin. The kit that you're going to get from Micromark will take about 30 to 60 minutes for large parts. But I usually let these guys go for about 2 or 3 hours just to be safe. So once you got a fairly consistent looking color through, just simply start by pouring into the mold. And don't worry about pouring too much into the mold and having it overflow a little bit. It's a lot better to have a little too much than obviously not enough. Because if you have too much, all you're going to have to do is just, when you pop the mold out, either using a hobby knife or using maybe a file or a nail file, you can go ahead and just kind of get rid of the extra. So I'll just go ahead and just kind of drop a little bit. So there you go. I just went ahead and I just poured the resin right in the mold. And I pretty much just got to let it sit for a while, and it'll cure itself. And once it's done, you can use that modeling tool to just go ahead and pop out the resin from the mold, and you'll have a pretty cool looking aerospace fighter ready to go ahead, prime as you would any other figure, and paint it up. All right, I want to finish up with one last little thing here this week. I got an email from a man named Dave. He was commenting on my review of HeroScape back from episode 6. Just want to share with you what he said, because I mean, I guess I made a comment that HeroScape wasn't very expandable because you're limited to the kind of official units. And he politely pointed out about how wrong I really was, and I was looking at it, yeah, he's quite right. I've been thinking about it since then, about how you can incorporate figures from other games in the HeroScape. Or take what we did today here with building MechWarrior aerospace fighters and actually build your own custom HeroScape units. And I believe the art directory of a community site called heroescapers.com, where he showed me on the forum there. It's basically all his members have hundreds of different custom units you can try out for HeroScape. So if you're in HeroScape, check that site out, heroescapers.com. Keeps up with the latest HeroScape news and has a nice forum with a lot of, you know, a little just active discussion about HeroScape and custom units. You can find players and such and such. So with that, I want to just thanks for watching this episode 15 of Tabletop Battlefield, and I'll see you again in about 2 weeks.
Copyright 2007, RoccoSoftware.com.
MechWarrior, Battletech, Mech, and Whiskey are our trademarks of Whiskey Incorporated. Initial music download everything was by the Transformers, acquired from www.podsafeaudio.com.